Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're pressing on the life of David, and as we've seen in the previous episodes, we're in 1 Kings 1, and David is old. So it's likely a period of time that had passed between the end of 2 Samuel 24. He's described as being old and advanced in years, and they covered him with clothes, but they couldn't keep him warm. So remember what happened. The servant said, hey, why don't you go find a young woman that can come and take care of him, watch over him? And they did. And this young woman would, how is it described, would sit in his lap, that type of idea, okay? In other words, she would literally sleep with him, would be with him, body warmth would keep him warm. But the word is very forthright in the fourth verse, saying that the king did not know her. He did not cohabitate with her, the New American Standard says. He didn't have sexual relationships with her. Now, we saw in the previous episode that David's son, Adonijah, exalted himself. And he said, I will be king. Now, the thing is, he would be the one that's more than likely next in line to be king because he was the oldest son that was remaining. But the Lord had promised something else, if you remember, and we'll look at that later. But now he comes along and he says, I will be king. This, he might have understood that he was not going to be king, even though he was oldest. So he was going to just seize it. So he did what his brother did. His brother was Absalom. And he prepared chariots and horsemen, 50 men to run before him, and was going to basically do a parade to declare that he is king. And then in verse 6, we saw this. The Lexham said this. His father did not rebuke him at any time by saying, why did you do so? And that is what's meant right here. But it sounds like it's more about this one incident. If you go read the other translations, the ESV says this. His father had never at any time displeased him by asking, why have you done thus and so? And that's very much what the King James says, New American Standard says. His father had never crossed him at any time by asking, why have you done so? So what's being said here? And remember, I've mentioned this several times, but in my eyes, this is just me, David's greatest failure was with his family. Okay? And apparently he never disciplined this young man. He never said anything to cross him. He never displeased him. He never rebuked him. He never said, hey, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Not just this particular incident, but anything. So that had never occurred in his life from his father. And then we saw that he was a handsome man and just like Absalom had been. So we pick it up verse 7. Listen what happens. I'll read from the ESV today. He, and again, this is Adonijah. He conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest, and they followed Adonijah and helped him. So he comes and he gets Joab, who's the commander of the military, remember him, who's caused all sorts of troubles, caused all sorts of good, all sorts of troubles, confers with him and confers with Abiathar, one of the priests, we've seen him before, and they agree to support him. Then verse 8, but Zadok, the priest, and Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan, the prophet, and Shammai, and Rei, and David's mighty men were not with Adonijah. So here we go with some political palace intrigue here, though it goes beyond intrigue. This gives us some insight into something. This was very, very public. Okay, David's people knew about it, though David did not know about it, as we're going to see. But the shenanigans were already taking place. So Adonijah had Joab and Abiathar, who were following him, had the leader of army and had a priest. But then another priest, Benaniah, who was the leader of David's bodyguards, remember that? And Nathan, we know about Nathan, the prophet, he's one to look David in the eye and says, you are the man. And David's mighty men, those 37 mighty men that we saw at the end of the 2 Samuel, they were not with Adonijah. So he's already got a huge portion of those that follow David that are against him. Verse 9 continues, and Adonijah sacrificed sheep and oxen and fattened cattle by the, and the Lexham says, the son of Zeholath. So does the King James. So does the New American Standard. The stone is Zeholeth. The English Standard translates it for us. He fattened the cattle and sacrificed these sheep, oxen, and fattened cattle by the serpent's stone. That's what Zeholeth means. The serpent's stone. I'm not sure if we're to read too much into this other than the fact that it's called the serpent's stone. And it tells us exactly where it is. It's beside En-Rogel. So he had this place that is right on the border of Benjamin and Judah. And he invited all of his brothers, the king's sons, and all the royal officials of Judah. So he invited everybody that was in the leadership of David's kingdom. He invited all of his brothers, the king's sons, all the royal officials, verse 10, but he did not invite Nathan the prophet, or Benaniah, or the mighty men, or Solomon his brother. Oh, well, why is that? Well, we know that Nathan wasn't supporting him. We know that Benaniah was not supporting him. He just said that in the verse. We know that the mighty men were not supporting him. But now, like out of nowhere, or Solomon, his brother. He'd invited all of his brothers except this one brother. Why the exclusion of Solomon? Well, I think it gives us some hints right here about some things. That Adonijah knew that Solomon was the one that was to be king, that David was going to pass the mantle on to him. And he's trying to get ahead of it here. So he's doing everything to literally install himself as king and to get the people on his side. And I mean, he invites all the brothers, he invites the king's sons, he invites the royal officials of Judah. He invites everybody except that prophet that was against him, Nathan. Except for that military guy, Benaniah, who was over David's bodyguards. Except for all those mighty men that had done these phenomenal things that we've seen in the Word. And except for that one brother, Solomon, who apparently is going to be the heir, but I want to be the heir. Woo, don't you think things might have been a little tense right here? Well, we don't really have to think about it because the very next verse tells us what begins to happen. But I don't want to get into it right now because it is a bit of a, this is very much a soap opera kind of thing, is it not? But it's not a soap opera. This is reality. This is real. This is what was going on. And the next verse starts entering into what the response is going to be to all that. We'll look at that the next time. Again, I'm Dale. Thank you for your time, and I'll see you then. Goodbye.